It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Kallenbach, in for Kate Archer Kent. Kate is back on Monday. Suicide in America is on the rise. That's not necessarily the case in other parts of the planet. We explore that with a mental health specialist and talk about the risk factors, warning signs, and how to help. We also learn how our language affects our understanding of suicide. If you or a loved one are struggling with suicidal thoughts, you can call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255, which offers free and confidential support for people in distress. And that number, if you need it, will be posted on the morning show's page on the WPR.org website. We would like to hear from you this morning. Has suicide affected you? Has it affected your loved ones? Has it affected your community? 800-642-1234. You give us a call, email ideas@wpr.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Leah Rolando is a suicide prevention specialist at Mental Health America of Wisconsin. Leah Rolando, thank you for joining us today.
Of course. Good morning.
So according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, suicide rate increased 33% between 1999 and 2017. Globally, however, suicide rate is decreasing. The rate has fallen by 38% from its peak in 1994. What do you make of those opposing statistics?
Yeah, this is a really popular question that has the national conversation speculating on different things. And of course, I can't answer as a sociologist or a researcher.
Yeah.
But in my work, we know one main thing that is a protective factor for people is connection. And so when we think about other countries and the way that they have, tighter kinship networks sometimes, family supports, community maybe in more intentional ways than the U.S., that could potentially be a protective factor. So that's just one of the many reasons that we might see that. We know there's other researchers that have different reasons as well.
Yeah, even though the rates declined in some other countries, there are still countries like Russia, South Korea, Japan, India, where the suicide rate is still higher than the U.S. rate, even though U.S. has been going up and those countries have been coming down. But the U.S. rate has risen in nearly every state over the past two decades, and half the states, the rate increased by more than 30%. What does the suicide rate look like here in Wisconsin?
Here in Wisconsin, we're generally above the national average, not dramatically so, but generally speaking, it's rising at the same rate, just a little bit higher.
Is there conjecture as to why Wisconsin is doing more than the country, even though the country is increasing as well?
Yeah, again, multiple answers. Yeah. I'm sorry, I don't have one answer, because suicide is complex.
It is indeed.
But when we talk about rural areas, we talk about access to lethal means. And in the suicide prevention world, that's access to guns. And so states that have easier access to guns, easier access to gun suicides. And when it's the suicide prevention conversation, it's that conversation about either youth who might be impulsive during a crisis. So we want to talk about safe storage. So you really can't talk about suicide prevention without talking about gun violence prevention as well, and safe storage and all of that.
Suicide's long been stigmatized as an unfortunate choice that people make that affects family and others for years to come. How has the way we understand that changed in recent years?
I think there's been a ton done in actually breaking that stigma down. And I think that comes mainly from people with lived experience of suicidal thoughts or suicide attempts, sharing their experiences of recovery and hope, and sharing that message that there is life after a suicide attempt and there's life after suicide thoughts. It doesn't mean that after a suicide attempt, everything's going to be perfect and better.
Right.
But it means that suicide doesn't have to be an option. And so that's important in the way we talk about it in the media, which is why we always want to talk about the suicide prevention conversation rather than just suicide, and be proactive rather than reactive.
Let's spend a little more time with that. How does the way we talk about suicide and the language we use to describe it help or hinder conversation around it?
Yeah. So it's kind of my favorite thing to talk about, because language matters so much. And I think people kind of know that, but when you really think about the way that we talk about suicide, commit is still a word that we hear all the time.
Sure.
People say people commit suicide rather than the preferred died by suicide or died of suicide. And when you think about the word commit, that has implications of it being a criminal act, which it was.
Yes.
And people being punished for wanting to kill themselves or dying by suicide.
It was a parallel of homicide,
right.
which is killing somebody else.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then the other piece is religious. So it's seen as a sin. And so, especially in faith communities, there's still a lot of stigma around people thinking about suicide, because it's that question of, you know, if you die by suicide, are you going to heaven?
Right.
And that's, you know, a bigger question among those communities. So
yeah.
It's just even when you talk about commit and you relate it to a sin or a crime, it doesn't do anything helpful for the people who are actually struggling and for those families who have lost someone to suicide.
I'm curious, within the faith communities, if we're seeing a change in the way that they're expressing thoughts about that. Again, you know, even if you think it's sinful, is there more work being done toward prevention because of that?
I see a ton of work being done towards prevention in faith communities. I can personally speak to my own in the greater Milwaukee area and the Madison area. A lot of churches host QPR trainings, which is called Question, Persuade, Refer, and it's a gatekeeper training to ask someone how they're thinking about suicide, or if they're thinking about suicide and how to intervene. And so churches are welcoming us in as trainers to talk to their congregations about what can we do to have this conversation as a congregation and not just in the mental health sphere. So I see a lot of hope there.
Leah Orlando is a suicide prevention specialist with Mental Health America of Wisconsin. Let's try to get one call in before we go to break. This is Jenny from Winneconne. Jenny, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Hey, I was just going to tell you, I've been involved in the suicide awareness and prevention community for a long time. I had a son that died in 2007 by suicide. He was 18 years old, and of course, that was a devastating event. So just in a short synopsis, the events leading up to his death was caused by bullying through and through. He was young, didn't have the resources and the ability to figure out what to do, who to ask, where to go, that kind of thing. And he really didn't present with the signs and symptoms that a normal somebody that's older or that you would be more familiar with would present with. So, I mean, I had my ideas, but we had him in treatment, things like that. So, anyways, long story short, I started the Suicide Awareness Walk in Oshkosh in 2011, and I ran that for 4 years based on volunteer work. It got so big, I had to give it over, and I passed it on to NAMI, which is National Alliance for Mental Illness. And they still run it to this day. Now, I'm not involved in the walk anymore, but it's a way to get information out about mental illness as it relates to suicide and all the things that go with that. So I'm a nurse. I'm very connected to people's bodies, minds, and souls, physically and mentally. I truly, truly think as I've aged in this whole process that a lot of it has to do with what you said earlier, connection, community. One of the big things that I've done research on a little bit myself, and it pops up a lot for me.
Jenny, we're getting a little too close to the break time. I'm going to have to step in. Thank you for your call, though, and sorry for your loss, and appreciate letting us know where you are in this conversation. We're speaking with Leah Orlando of the Mental Health America of Wisconsin about suicide prevention. I'm Dean Kallenbach in for Kate Archer Kent. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Collin, back in for Kate Archer Kent. After news at the bottom of the hour, we talk about ways to get our kids to read. Right now, our focus is the rising rate of suicide in America. what are you or your community doing to prevent suicide or raise awareness? And what questions do you have about suicide prevention? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. And before we resume our conversation with Leo Rolando, the suicide specialist with Mental Health America of Wisconsin, also want to give the number again for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It's 800-273-8255. That's 800-273-8255, that number for National Suicide Prevention. The Lifeline offers free and confidential support for people in distress. Leo Rolando, a professor of criminal justice at Wayne State University, has drawn a correlation between suicide rates and income inequality. What role can financial strain play in one's risk for suicide?
Economic factors are a huge piece in suicide prevention. So on the positive side, when people have access to jobs, healthcare, the things, you know, their basic needs, that's totally a protective factor. Yeah. But when people are in economic distress, whether that's a job loss or just the environment in general, it's a risk factor. And so the coalitions that we work with across Wisconsin, one of the things they can do is work to enroll people in health insurance and make sure they have appropriate services in their area and do advocacy efforts to make sure those services are funded.
Paul from Eau Claire emailed to ask, is it true that men suffer the vast majority of suicides, making this mainly a men's health issue?
It is a men's health issue, absolutely. And we know that men in their middle years specifically are the ones who are dying the most by suicide in the U.S. That's not necessarily attempts or thoughts. As we know, suicidal thoughts are actually more common than a lot of people think. But men are absolutely the ones dying the most. And so we need new and creative and good ways to bring men together and talk about these issues.
Do we have a sense of why middle age is a factor?
When you talk about economic stress and job loss, maybe divorce, relationship problems, family problems, a lot of those can happen in the middle years. And then having the ability to have access to guns, if we're talking about rural areas or really any areas, men we know are more likely to die by suicide via gun than women.
Data also shows that suicide for Native Americans is about 3.5 times higher than it is for racial and ethnic groups with the lowest rates. Why might that be the case? Is it maybe that rural situation again, or are there other layers with that?
Yeah, that's definitely part of it, the rural piece. But I would also imagine that other layers are involved. So when you think about a sense of community and you don't have the ability to celebrate your own culture and celebrate your own community in certain places. And I think when you think about oppression as a whole and the way that it affects people's communities, that's when you start to see rises in suicide attempts and suicidal thoughts in Native youth specifically, kids of color in schools, LGBTQ youth.
Mm-hmm.
So identity is a big piece of it.
So if someone listening wants to know how they can identify whether someone in their life may be at risk of suicide, what should they do?
First off, ask. I know it's an uncomfortable conversation, and sometimes people might say it in a joking way.
Yeah.
You know, oh, if this doesn't happen, I'm just going to kill myself. Mm. And people might want to brush that off and not have that awkward conversation. But the important message is to have that awkward conversation, as awkward as it may be. And then if they say yes, then you've been able to reach that person, and then you can work with them to identify what might be the best support plan for them and any treatment they might need. And if they say no, then that's fine. They just say no, and you know that they're not thinking about suicide.
So if they say yes and they agree that, gee, I probably should talk to somebody, where do you handhold to get them where they need to be?
Right. It's going to depend on person. So if it's a close personal relationship, you'll be able to play more of a role. But if it's a stranger, you can just offer resources. So some communities with local suicide prevention coalitions have crisis cards with resources on them that might be culturally specific or low cost. So that might be an option as well.
Leo Rolando is a suicide prevention specialist at Mental Health America of Wisconsin. How has suicide affected you and your loved ones? How has it affected your community? And we'd like to know. Give us a call, 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or tweet and mention at WPR Mornings. What if you suspect if you yourself might be at risk of suicide? What resources are available to help?
I totally stand by everybody needing a safety plan. We talk about safety plans in the suicide prevention world when we're working with people at risk, whether they're in the hospital or an outpatient treatment center, but everybody needs a safety plan. And so that just includes distractions, people that you can talk to when you're in distress, crisis numbers when it's really high crisis. And then making sure you yourself have access to either counseling or therapy, a support group. And then another free resource is the Crisis Text Line, and that is a crisis service for anyone in the nation. You just text HOPELINE, HOPELINE, to 741741. And that's a quick, easy resource. It's not an alternative to counseling or therapy, mm-hmm. but it's brief crisis counseling. So
good. How much of a role does depression play in suicide?
A pretty big one. So I know depression and other mood disorders, even anxiety or ADHD, especially in youth, can put someone at increased risk for suicide. And so if somebody's struggling with depression, if they have a therapist or counselor, that should be an ongoing conversation and should be asked at sessions when people don't seem to be doing very well.
We heard earlier from Jenny of Winneconne and her son. The suicide was after bullying.
Mm-hmm.
We hear stories all the time about people who've been bullied, cyberbullied into these sorts of decisions. How in your profession, I would assume that's something of a new, at least the cyber aspect of that is something new, but where does bullying factor in here?
Yeah.
And how do you detect it?
Right. There's a ton of research being done on this, and bullying isn't the only reason someone might consider suicide, but since it is one of the reasons, we need to be working with our schools and the staff at schools to make sure programs are in place to help kids have a sense of belonging. And so those are programs that can be peer-led, adult-guided, making sure kids know who to talk to when they're being bullied, having a trusted adult, and really emphasizing resilience and getting that message out there that although people do die by suicide and could have been bullied, that doesn't have to be someone else's option. We never want to say that bullying immediately causes suicide, because that lets kids think, this might be an option for me.
Yeah.
And suicide doesn't have to be an option. There's a lot of other options to work through that and get kids connected to resources.
What are some barriers in the way of people seeking help and getting help for others?
Yeah. First, an easy one is people not knowing how to identify someone at risk for suicide. So a way to counter that is these suicide prevention gatekeeper trainings. So teaching people how to ask the question, how to persuade someone to stay alive, and how to refer someone to resources. Healthcare is a big issue. If people can't get access to mental health services, everything we're doing to tell people to reach out, really doesn't have a backing if those mm-hmm. services aren't there.
Last year, we saw some high-profile personalities die of suicide. How has suicide typically been covered, and when this sort of thing happens?
Yeah, the news articles that I saw were very prevention-focused and helpful in decreasing the stigma. A lot of them didn't use the means, and that's safe reporting, not using the means and not glorifying any deaths by suicide. But a lot of the articles that I saw listed resources, talked about hope, talked about lived experience. And so I think that helped elevate the suicide prevention conversation without elevating only fear and that, public fear of suicide, because we want to talk about lived experience and we want to talk about hope. And I think in part, the conversations afterwards did their best to make that happen.
Could you repeat one more time the text opportunity if people are feeling that they need help and they need it now? Seems like that's an easy way to at least reach out.
Right, absolutely. And I'm also a volunteer for the crisis text line. So that number is 741-741. So you just text the word HOPELINE, HOPELINE. To that number, and then a crisis counselor will text back and see what you need.
Great to have you with us this morning, Leah Orlando. Yeah. Leah is the suicide prevention specialist at Mental Health America of Wisconsin. Glad you could come.
Yeah, thank you so much.
If you or a loved one are struggling with suicidal thoughts, you can also call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255, which offers free and confidential support for people in distress. Next up is the news. Then we get advice on how to get kids excited about reading. I'm Dean Kallenbach, in for Kate Archer Kent. You're tuned to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.